Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
And we're doing this CWK old school because that's the only way to do it when you've got a trailer. You've got to bring your good friend, the co-creator of Coffee with Kenobi, Corey Club. Welcome back, Corey.
Hello. Thank you. You know, it's interesting because it's that time of year, right? It's not Christmas. It's Star Wars.
That's right.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Hello, friends, and welcome to show number 92 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking some coffee in my Star Wars The Dark Side Disney World half-marathon mug from early 2017, and very much looking forward to Star Wars conversation. We hope to make you think about Star Wars in a whole new way, and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. On today's show, we'll take another look at the trailer for The Last Jedi. We'll also check in with Nick Deco on the Star Wars Battlefront 2 beta, CWK newsman Tom Gross will bring us the latest Star Wars news, and in the coffee chat, CWK co-host Corey Club returns to break down the new theatrical poster for The Last Jedi. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
We've had a huge week here at Coffee with Kenobi. We released a number of shows. We released Star Wars Reads Day 2017, our live show, which was number 90. And of course, the trailer analysis show for The Last Jedi, which Corey joined me for. And that one was released for show 91. That was released on Tuesday evening, October 10th, very late. And it was a blast. Not only is it great to talk with Corey, but just reconnecting our ideas about what this saga means to us and just looking at that beautiful trailer that I can't wait to hear what you think all about. So be sure to send in your information on that and let us know what you think about the trailer analysis show. We also released a Comics with Kenobi Young Padawans edition, which looks at the IDW series with a trio of young Padawans, Emily, Jerry, and Micah, alongside the mainstays Matt Moore and Jeff McGee, of course. And they brought Amy Nallon with them too, and Amy, of course, was on a few episodes ago. What an awesome person. All of them are amazing, and these are little snippets into the IDW series. And Emily, Jerry, and Mike are wonderful to listen to. It's a great show. I'm really, really excited and thrilled that Matt brought this idea up very recently. It's tremendous fun. And if you looked on our Instagram and our Insta story, the new logo is up for the new experience. It's called CWK Coffee Chat. This is the first time I've mentioned the name on the show, CWK Coffee Chat. Please look on Instagram for the official logo. As far as what this is going to entail, what this CWK Coffee Chat will entail, we will have that information for you in the next few weeks. Finalizing a few last-minute things to make it the best it can possibly be. And very, very excited to experience Coffee with Kenobi with you in a whole new way. So be sure to stay tuned. It's time now to jump into our book study for Leia, Princess of Alderaan. Today we're going to look at chapters 9 to 15. And it was perfect the way the last show ended because this is the confrontation. It was the cliffhanger. Leia just discovered that Bail was the leader behind this insurgence. And they look at each other a bit differently. And they just don't really know how to react to it. So we're on page 120. And she says, he asks her if Bail asks Leia if she's disappointed in him, or just kind of what's going on. And I'm going to read the exact quote for you because Claudia Gray will say it much better than me. He says to her, I don't blame you for feeling that way, Leia. I only ask that you try to understand. And she responds, disappointed, Dad, this is amazing. So her doubts about violent action had faded the instant she realized her father played a part in all this, that he even seemed to be the one in charge. Despite the recent distance between them, her trust in his goodness remained absolute. For Leia, it was this simple. If Bail Organa led this movement of rebels, then they were doing the right thing. And I think that's really, really powerful because I love how Claudia Gray continues to make connections to Leia's next train of thought and where she gets from point A to point B. And I think that's a gift that she exhibits as a writer because we don't always get that. Really, in many walks of life, in many different types of literature, Leia's progression makes sense to me. And I think it's really, really fascinating. So then go ahead and look at page 126. And there's some great stuff there as well. I'm flipping to it as I'm talking to you right now. This is when she goes and she talks with her mother. And her mother says, "Many of us around the galaxy have seen the need for greater action and began taking the first steps on our own. We found each other. We'll start learning to trust each other. The work ahead requires extraordinary trust." And this is, of course, talking about lining up all the different sanctions of the rebellion, the burgeoning rebellion, because they have not yet converged to get to where we are in Rogue One, obviously, although we're getting close to that. So I like this idea, this extraordinary trust, this incredible faith, and I don't think that's something we look at enough. The fact that the rebellion even existed, let alone was successful, is rather miraculous, considering different points of view and different perspectives and cultures that all had to come together. Really, it's a nice model for what I hope we exhibit here on our own planet Earth. So Leia knows why they've been ignoring her, and she finds a little bit of peace with that. I'd like you to turn to page 129. Now, not if you're driving, of course. But the second full paragraph, I think, encapsulates the spirit of Leia. And it says, "The danger terrified her, but it excited her too. Instead of grappling with mystery and uncertainty, she saw a fight on the horizon, one with a clear enemy. Leia was sick of living in confusion or fear. She wanted to take action." And again, that fire, that passion inside of her, I think is really, really cool. In chapter 10, we're back to her being with her peers, the apprentice legislature. It's kind of a brief interlude. At this point, I just want to see more about her discovering more of the rebellion and trying to figure out how to fight against the Empire. But these are building her relationship with Keir, and there's a ton of romantic tension between the two of them. We turn to page 133, and we see the love and compassion that the parents have for one another versus standing up against the Empire. It's an interesting juxtaposition there that I found really, really exciting. So Keir offers to train Leia in sharpshooting, and she has 12 tutors already, and she could probably get someone to teach her about sharpshooting, but she wants to learn to be better, but she's definitely attracted to him and he to her, and they're definitely building to a relationship of some sort, whatever that will be, we'll find out. We look on page 138. She's considering a number of things that I think are interesting. I'm flipping to that page right here. She's debating how she wants to be perceived by him. And I think this is one of the most important sections of the entire book so far. So it says, "Show me your firing stance," he said, and she went into the position she'd seen her guards in several times. After a second, Keir nodded and raised his eyebrows, impressed. "Okay, you've got that part down." She thought he might put his arms around her to correct her position and wondered whether she should have fudged the stance just a little bit. No, Leia wanted anyone who was interested in her to know who she really was, what she could really do. If Keir Dumandi wanted to put his arms around her, well, he'd find a way. Or she would. And I just love that. She's wondering, should I fake that I'm not good at this? Should I be this delicate little flower that is not able to handle a blaster? And she says, no, you're going to take me as I am. And if you want to put your arms around me, you will. Or I'll just put myself in a position where it's appealing to you and I'll do it. I love that. She's in control. And it makes her in relationship later with Han Solo, I think, even more impactful, because he captivates her and frustrates her in ways I think that perhaps no one ever has. It just shows the power of their relationship. And again, back in this, it just shows who we're dealing with, somebody that's very much in control of the situation and has her doubts, but she believes in her and how she was raised, which is great. So now we find out she's going to Palpatine's home planet, Onoam, I think that's how you pronounce it, O-N-O-A-M. And this is a moon. I still find myself, yes, I know there are moons and planets like the moon of Yavin, the moon of Endor, and Sollust, but I still find myself kind of confusing the moons with the actual planets because they just seem to be so tightly connected to one another, and it seems like they're able to get to them really, really quickly and easily. So she goes to Naboo, and it's on page 195, it says it's a lovely place, at least on the surface, which I think is a nice metaphor for basically what Padme went through towards the end of her life. So she gets down there and finds out about what's going to happen. She's there to give supplies and discuss the mining operation that's going on down there. And she's really upset. The noise you're hearing is me turning my notes because I took a lot of notes while reading this, which is part of the fun. So she inspires the queen, Queen Dalne, who is the current queen of Naboo. And the queen at this point is apparently just really a figurehead. She doesn't have any power. And you can tell that that is not something that lifts her spirits. She feels very much emotionally bogged down by it. In fact, she has this nice little section where she talks about the weight of being queen compared to the gowns and the headdresses that she wore, which I think is really metaphorical because Padme was able to hold it because she had real power and she had this weight on her of trying to, you know, get out of this blockade. Now, this queen has similar weight, but doesn't have the power to lift it up. So you can see that she needs something. She needs a spark, and Leia provides that. And speaking of sparks, we meet Panaka. And when I first saw the name, I thought, well, that sounds familiar. And then I started thinking about it, and it's Catherine Panaka from The Phantom Menace. He's in this section, which I thought was wonderful. And it's an interesting conversation that happens between the two of them. There's this explosion, and Panaka seems to be a casualty. Now, before this happens, he looks at her. And I can't believe I didn't write more notes about this because it's just really captivating. But he looks at her, and it seems like he starts piecing things together. I'm going to try to find this section while we're talking about this here. But the way he looks at Leia, you can tell that he recognizes her. Like, he knows what she is. Like, I feel like he knows that she is a Skywalker. And they very much are saying that as well. When she meets him, he looks at her, and he says, it says, Panaka's gaze finally turned to Leia. He stopped short, eyes wide with shock. Although he managed to hold on to his cup, some of his tea splashed onto the floor. I mean, he can't focus on anything because he says later on, page 157, of course, forgive me, your guest reminded me of someone else. You are Princess Leia of Organa of Alderaan, correct? And then he starts asking her, basically, hey, were you adopted? Around when were you adopted? How old are you? And it's almost like he starts putting pieces together. But sadly, and I suppose it's pretty self-evident since we're doing these book chats that we're spoiling the book, in essence, because my hope is that you're reading along with us. But it seems that Panaka dies in this explosion, and it's stunning. And now the threat of Leia basically... Here's the thing. When he looks at her, you can very much tell that he is starting to put the pieces together that she is the long-lost child of Padme Amidala. And he flat-out says, hey, I'm going to tell the Emperor about this because he is close with the Emperor. The appeal of Panaka for Leia is he seems to be one of the last few Imperials that she feels like she may conceivably be able to one day trust and maybe help to be a part of the cause. They don't get that chance, and we don't really get to see 100% where his full loyalties would lie because he's in the explosion. But the thing for Leia that really rocks her universe is that she fears this attack on the Empire could be from her actual parents herself. So she has to leave before the Empire investigates because they're just going to delay her. Her position of power with Alderaan is going to keep her from being arrested, but they will delay her, so she doesn't want to deal with that. So she races back home with these serious doubts, and she's thinking of her parents and is, wait a minute, are you guys capable of murder? Is basically the thing that concerns her. So she gets back there on pages 170-171. 2V is interesting. 2V is the droid, of course, that dresses her, and it basically is like her nanny or her governess, I suppose. And when she shows up, she's still wearing the gown from Naboo, and he just thinks that it's great, and the droid is completely just infatuated with this whole notion of the superficiality of the dress when she's worried about life and death. But she comes to this realization and says, it's her programming. She didn't get to choose her programming. And Tuvi is, I should have mentioned, it's female. I use the male pronoun, but I made a mistake. It's a female pronoun. So I like this idea of programming. She's just talking about the droid, but I feel like the subtext here is people in this galaxy being programmed. How much is the Empire and the Emperor himself affecting or really programming people to kind of see things from their point of view, or just to kind of sweep aside a rational thought and just let the Empire just take over everything? It's very interesting. Propaganda might be a word that could have been substituted for this as well. She overhears her parents discussing Saw Gerrera. First time he's mentioned this book, I believe. And so she has to go on a garden walk with her mother, and because her father's so upset because he thought Leia could have died. And not only that, but he's upset that she would even think that they would be capable of murder. So it's pretty heavy stuff. She's walking around with her mother, and it's night, and there's these blooming flowers. They're pale and they're gold. I think there's a lot of symbolism there with the fact that she's in all this stuff, but she's with her mother now in a garden where things are blooming. And it's almost like her emergence as a leader of the rebellion is blooming as well. But it's set during night and darkness. So it's not as clear because there's still a lot that has to occur. Now, we learned that her mother has a mechanized organ replacement for her heart. And Leia always thought fondly of these flowers because whenever she felt this warm glow from her mother, she thought it was... She equates it with the flowers and the beauty of nature, really, and the magnificence of it. But it's actually a mechanized heart, and it just really kind of stuck with me for a while, this whole notion that the mother had a mechanized heart. And I was trying to think, why would this woman who's just so kind and loving and so fierce, she has a powerful heart, but knowing that it's not organic, that it's mechanized, I feel like that's sort of an interesting parallel to Anakin and eventually half of his body being mechanical. He's, you know, more machine now than man. But her mother, her adopted mother, had a mechanized heart, but she's all hearted. She's even though it's mechanized, she's still a good, loving person. And it's almost like a very, very subtle allusion or hint to the fact that Anakin will, of course, reveal his heart is actually organic and he's not more machine than man. So I guess in a way you could subtextually come to the conclusion that this could be a seed of hope for the Skywalker family. It's interesting. So Leia tells the story about everything and what happened, and her mother, Rhea, reacts with a lot of compassion. And then Leia, and of course, as I mentioned, her father, not so much. He's more angry, but not really angry at her so much as protective of her, which is completely understandable. So we move on to chapter 14. Leia realizes that the only way to stop the Empire is if the Emperor is forced out, since the Imperial Senate could not keep the Empire in check. That, to me, is a revelatory moment because she realizes that politics are not going to get it done. The Senate, in essence, is powerless, and she never quite made that direct connection. And now she's starting to see that there has to be more done than politics. Again, this burgeoning sense of the leader that she's to become. Her father still doesn't want her to risk going out on these mercy missions, so he picks specific spots that seem to be fairly innocuous and rather boring to her. But she goes to Chal Hutta. And it's just a quick section in the book, but one of the highlights for me is that she meets C-3PO for the very first time, and it says that this droid appears to... Protocol droids seem to talk a lot, especially this one. You can't help but smile at something like that because of the history that's going to develop between these two. So on this planet, the Chaldun, Chaldudans, I'm not sure how to pronounce that officially, but they refuse help. Because they feel like it's not authentic and they're being condescended to. And Leia absolutely snaps and she says, listen to me. you need to get rid of your pride because your children are dying. And if my children were dying, if my people were dying, I wouldn't let pride get in the way of helping them. And this impresses them because this is the second time that she's let her emotions take over, but it's been productive and effective because it shows how human she is and how she's willing to basically break the conventions of being a princess or just a figurehead of power through this political machine. And they respect her and they say, look, if you're going to help us, then we need to give you something too. We need this to be an actual partnership. And she thinks, well, what am I going to ask for? Swamp water? Because this is a very much a swampy planet. But then she thinks, well, you know, listen, why don't we keep this favor out there? And when I need it, I'll just ask you for it. And they say, okay, but don't do it. Don't wait too long to cash in. So that there's this mutual respect because she's able to relate to people outside of her circle, which obviously aids her a lot throughout her task to bring this galaxy free from the oppression of the Empire. So when she returns from this mission, she realizes and discusses the Empire completely tricked her with the Ariel, A-R-R-E-Y-E-L mission that we talked about on our last show, was purely a trick by the Empire and the Emperor. There's a radiation source in this planet, so the Empire wanted them to pick Ariel for their selection. So now they can power these massive new factories, and they give residents of this planet 6 weeks to evacuate so they can mine it. And she feels so angry. And she doesn't feel betrayed because I don't think she feels like the Empire cared about anybody but themselves. But the fact that they could dupe her into actually taking over a planet and making his people leave, it just, the Empire is throwing so many rocks at her, but I feel like this is a boulder. This is one that, I don't know if it's the last straw. The last straw may have been a while ago in this book, but it doesn't hurt to inspire her again. So she vows never to do the Empire's dirty work again, which I think has got to be significant because it says she's not upset, she's furious. So she's not, you know, to be upset would imply that you're a bit broken or just weighted down and just, you know, you're just dealing with your grief or your sadness. But she's furious, she's angry, and she's going to use that anger to make sure that she's never tricked or duped by the Empire again. And as we know, it's going to be various degrees of success, but it's certainly not by her not being able to fight back or to be aware of it. It gives her an edge, really. So she realizes then towards the end of our reading for today that basically all these dinner parties that her parents have been having that where she thought they were ignoring her, they weren't actually dinner parties of you know, that weren't important. They actually had real substance because this is how they're having these meetings. Mon Mothma is there, and she confides in Mon Mothma about her frustration, and Mon Mothma basically tells her, look, you're not the first person that the Empire has done this to. Don't beat yourself up about it because this is what they do. This is their thing. This is how they manipulate people. I think it's a really nice moment between the two of them. She even sort of struggles with calling her by her first name, and that's very much like, I know when I run into previous teachers, no matter how old I am or whatever, I still feel, you know, I still call them Mr. or Mrs. because that's what you do. And she respects Mon Mothma so much, so there's a little bit of that there. The thing that Mon Mothma actually says to Leia is, try not to be discouraged. Officials with decades of experience have fallen into similar traps. Palpatine knows how to bait his hooks. Mon Mothma talks to her continually in this section like a peer, like an adult, like an equal. It's almost as if indirectly or maybe directly, we may find out as we continue to read this, that she wants Leia to be a part of this. So anyway, I'm not sure, you know, again, if that's true or not, but she certainly is open to treating Leia with that respect because she can see that leadership in her. So we leave this section with Keir in this gathering as well because Leia's parents have invited him. And at first she thinks, oh, he's in on this too. He's part of this committee that's trying to do something about the Empire. And maybe he is, but it seems he was just invited there because they thought it would cheer her up. So she basically decides, I need a confidant. I'm not going to tell him my secrets, but I am going to have him come with me so I can eavesdrop on what's going on. And that's where we ended. And, you know, I suppose you could say that's a bit dishonest. I mean, it certainly is. But because she can say, well, I didn't tell him, but she still didn't prevent him from finding out. But she needs somebody to confide with. And where that's going to go, whether she'll be discovered or not, well, I guess we're going to find out for our next book study. So for the next week, please read chapters 16 to 22 and continue to send in your emails and MP3s and thoughts on the book study and on Leia, Princess of Alderaan. Really quite a compelling book. So glad that we are doing this together. Thank you for joining me as always on the CWK Book Study. Now let's jump into the rest of the show. Joining us today for a cup of coffee is a 501st member and 501st cast co-host, Mr. Marcus Doering. Welcome, Marcus.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate being here.
You bet. Thank you. Also joining us and for her very first podcast appearance is a writer for StarWars.com, celebrating her nerdiversary, which we'll talk about soon, writer for Star Wars Insider, and a Coffee with Kenobi blogger, Kristen Baver. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Dan.
It's good to have you. Before we jump into our topic, which of course has to be the trailer, Marcus, how excited are you for the Rancho Gala in a few weeks?
I'm always very excited about this gathering of fellow geeks and nerds and dorks. So yeah, it's going to be, it's always a nice relaxing time out there in Petaluma. I can only recommend if you can't make the gala, I can honestly say that you have to visit the museum as soon as possible, because it is amazing.
It is. It's wonderful, and it doesn't get much more charming than Steve Sansweet. He's such a gracious guy, and he knows his Star Wars, of course, and he just, the collection is just, it's unbelievable. You could walk through, and the nice thing about the gala is you're not restricted to the hours of a tour. You can just walk around at your own leisure and just kind of soak it all in at your own pace.
Yeah, it's a seven-hour gala, and you can look at anything you want. You can't obviously touch anything, but
that's disgusting.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, that's not good. That they release banthas that chase you.
Yeah. No, but no, it's
fast,
it's
so, you know.
Yeah, you can always run away. But no, the whole setting. I mean, the whole just getting there to start with. It's out in the country, and it's very nondescript, and you don't even know what you're looking at when you first pull up. You see this gate, you know, that has Obi-Wan on it. That's the first indication that something is going on. But once you pull into the property, it looks just like it was before, a chicken barn. And but once you're inside, the whole experience starts, and you can get really lost in there. You can look at One Piece for an hour and just, you know, and whoever's there that is in the know, you know, Steve or some of his other colleagues, they can tell you everything too about where this piece came from and the story behind it. It's fantastic. It's amazing, and I'm so glad he decided to open that to the public, and it's well worth a visit, or two or three or four.
Yeah, that's right. And is this your fourth trip there? Am I right?
It's my fourth gala, but I've been there seven times.
Wow.
Now.
But who's counting?
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most impressive, as they say. So we have obviously a ton of things to discuss. We're going to have a lot of guests coming on the show very soon. But before we go to that, Corey and I shared our thoughts on show 91 of the trailer. We broke it down. And I highly recommend you download that. It's always fun to talk with Corey anyway, the co-founder of the show. But we really get into the nuance of the trailer. There's so much. And before we go on to our next segment, I'd love to know what the both of you thought of the trailer.
Ladies first.
Oh. I have a lot of thoughts and a lot of emotions about the trailer. I mean, first things first, I think there's a lot of misdirection happening probably.
Yes, totally
with it.
Agree.
So it's really hard to kind of parse out and pick out you know, not only my favorite bits, but also what I think is probably happening in some of these sections. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think first and foremost, the section with Kylo Ren and Leia spliced together, you know, where he's talking about how...
killing the past.
You know, you do. Cool.
Yeah, oh, it's awful. Yeah, it just rips your heart out.
Well, and if those two things aren't happening in conjunction in the actual film, this is a beautiful piece of, you know, sleight of hand to have them together, you know, in the trailer and just, oh.
I totally agree with you. It's too much on the nose, I think, if that's really what's happening in the movie, like that sequence. I'm conflicted with if episode 8 is going, or the last year is going to be Leia's end.
They said though a while ago when Carrie Fisher passed there would not be, and they weren't going to change the story. So
right. Yeah. So, but obviously they can't bring her back in episode 9 because they said they wouldn't use any, you know, CG effects. So I don't know. She might pass away, but I'm not sure if it's by the hands of Kylo. I have my doubts. It'd be too easy of a death, or too. I don't know.
Hard to say.
I guess we'll find out in 2 months. But you mentioned that Dan, on your review with Corey, you mentioned your favorite scene was, what was it again? I forgot.
Well, I appreciate you listening. Thank you. My favorite scene is, well, there's a number of them, but just everything with, the thing that stands out for me is Luke, and Luke flat out says, this is not going to end the way you think. I mean, that's, there's subtext there, I think, plus the actuality of what's going on in the film, most likely. Mm-hmm. But I think that's Rian Johnson telling us, look, whatever you think, that's not going to happen. And that's great, because I don't really like to speculate anyway. And I just don't. And obviously, our show is very anti-spoiler. But I just don't believe that Lucasfilm for 1 second would show all their cards in a trailer for a movie that's 2 months away.
Never.
No, and I had the same reaction to that line where I thought, you know, in this trailer and in the teaser trailer, there's just one amazing Luke line, you know, for each one. And in the initial teaser was that it's time for the Jedi to end. Mm-hmm. You know, and this time for me, it was definitely, this is not going to go the way you think.
Exactly.
Because it really did jump out kind of, you know, almost saying all these things you think you're seeing in this trailer, that's not what's happening at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree. So at the end of The Force Awakens, you know, when Rey pulls up on Actu and then Luke doesn't want her to be there. I think that's obvious. Or he's very conflicted about her. And I think based on what we saw in the trailer that came out, I think that he's very conflicted with teaching her, especially when he said that he hasn't seen that kind of raw power. Or he's only seen that once. So I think that he looked absolutely scared and frightened when he saw, like, when that crack appeared behind Rey, mm-hmm. In the rock. I think he's like, oh no, this is gonna be, I've seen this before. Or, you know, then we had that flashback to the burning Jedi facility temple,
right?
Something.
Or it could be, could very much be the bar in Nepal from Raiders of the Lost Ark, for all we know. Say. there's going to be a lot of course frame by frame analysis, and Full of Sith has a wonderful breakdown of the trailer as well. So be sure to check that out and let us know what you think. And we're going to go ahead and take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the recent release of the Star Wars Battlefront 2 beta with Nick Deacon. Mm-hmm. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Phasma and Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi is also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to The Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, The Last Jedi, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. And if you're finding yourself thinking, how can I help Coffee with Kenobi out? I really like this show and I want to do my part. Well, we appreciate that and we appreciate you. And one of the ways you can do that is to be a CWK Patreon contributor. And I want to give a special shout out right now to our CWK Patreon contributors, including Tyler Wiggins, Ben Elkington, Dennis Keithley, Angela Souse, Aaron Harris, Jason Hall, Mediocre Jedi, Connie Shee, Terry Lee, BJ Smith, Nick Deco, Adam Leonard, Jim Capron, Mark Suter, Mike Audette, Eric Struthers, Jared Cantor, and Swara Sala. The Patreon page is something that helps us out in a lot of ways, including producing our show and distributing it through the RSS feed, which is how you send your show to different podcast catchers like iTunes and Google Play, etc. It also helps with the equipment and the upkeep. In fact, I just had to buy a new microphone recently because the last one I had crashed. So thanks to CWK's Patreon contributors, that was a lot easier for me to make that happen. And I thank you all so much for that. If you contribute, because there are different levels you can contribute and there are different rewards that come with this, for $5 or more a month, you can get a special mention on the show like you just heard, and we will follow you on social media. And you also become a member of the CWK Discord community, which is basically a message board that's exclusive to just our CWK Patreon contributors. For $10 a month or more, you also have the same things I just mentioned. Plus, you can set up your own Discord text channels, and you get more insights and different access to different posts that we have. 35 more a month, 50 a month and more. The contributions go on and on. But the more you contribute, the more opportunities you have. You can get coffee mugs, CWK t-shirts. You can also, by the way, get a chance to co-host a show with us, depending on how much you contribute. And be sure to check out our webpage and go to the Patreon page to see the incentives and see the opportunities for you, because as I mentioned, you can not only host the show with me, but you could do it one time, twice in 1 month, or you could do the entire month, all 4 shows with me in 1 month and another guest host. And that's really fun. One of the best things about the show is being able to meet and talk with and converse with each of you. And this is one way to guarantee that's going to happen. So be sure to check out our links on the webpage or the show notes for more information. It's Nick Deco time here on Coffee with Kenobi, which is perfect because the Star Wars Battlefront 2 beta that we've been talking about for months, really, it's a thing. It's really happening. And Nick has been, no doubt, devouring this. Am I right?
Oh, definitely. And I like Nick Deco time. It's like Adventure Time, except less awesome.
Yeah, so, well, it's more awesome. And we're going to come up with a catchy little jingle here, I'm sure.
I love it. So let's see. The beta. So the beta came out last week. And when this episode goes to air, the beta will officially be over. They did extend it for 2 days, I think, in hindsight that the new trailer dropped for The Last Jedi on Monday. So it was originally only supposed to be about a 5-day total beta with 2 or 3 extra days for those folks that pre-ordered, like myself, because I wanted to get those 3 extra days in. But they extended it to about a full week. So where to begin, honestly, with the beta? I think a lot of people have different opinions on how it's going to fare and how it's shaping up, and some issues with the game so far, and a lot of positive reviews as well. And I think the underlying theme that I've read from just different places, and even for myself, is this is a huge step in the right direction. Regardless of any flaws that the beta might have, it is still a huge step in the right direction for Battlefront and the franchise.
So why is that? Why is it a step in the right direction?
For, I think, many different reasons, Dan. One is, we haven't played it yet, but the single player for sure. But the content that is available at launch, the different character classes, the different weapon assemblies that you have, and the ability to automatically plug in and play and achieve new characters such as Wookiees or heavy troopers to unlock, heavy droid troopers to unlock, or ships in the games where you really had there was no rhyme or reason to those things before. You got lucky when you got a hero coin and unlocked a AT-ST or something like that. And there was no real strategy for yourself to, you know, go for anything in the game in terms of really improving your skills besides leveling up your character and then maybe using those things later on in the game if you stayed around and played for months at a time. But for this iteration of Battlefront, right away you see a different change in the style of how you approach each level, each game, each skirmish or each battle that you're jumping into, in which you're really kind of dedicating yourself to get good at those levels, get good with those characters so you can get more out of the game immediately and not necessarily have to wait a few months as you keep leveling up to get the stuff that you want to become better at.
So let's pretend like you it's show and tell, right? And you're telling the class what this is like to play. So what character were you during the beta?
This is just like my workplace. This is great. So first I draw a description of here's how the Star Wars movies work, okay, and then here's how the games work.
Okay. I get to find out.
So I think that's the thing that's going to be the challenge and difficulty when it comes to show and tell for Battlefront 2, because there is so much more content for this game than there was for the first game. And, you know, in retrospect, perhaps EA was taking this approach. They wanted to get people used to this franchise again, get folks bought in, but probably not. They probably, as I think we have read before, that they had to put a product to market just to get in on time for The Force Awakens. And so they left a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor. So for this, if I was in front of the class and there's a show and tell for the beta, you would immediately just kind of point out the different classes. And so now instead of spawning as just a stormtrooper or as a rebel trooper with different skins, so you could pick yourself, you know, you could be male or female or an alien race, and, you know, in a particular costume, maybe, or a particular skin of a scout trooper or just a regular stormtrooper or something like that.
Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, were you a battle droid?
No, yeah. Well, here's the thing about the beta. That's the thing.
I would totally do that, by the way. The Clone Wars made me totally love battle droids.
Right. So this is the same process that you had with Battlefront 1, is that you are pre-selected as one of the factions. You don't get to choose which faction you get to be in. So when you get to that home screen, that load screen, you get to choose, though, which type of battle droid you want to be now. So instead of just being spawned as a battle droid or as a stormtrooper or clone trooper, you get to pick between an infantry, a regular trooper, a heavy trooper, or a heavy battle droid, or a specialist or an officer. So I didn't know there were officer battle droids before. Don't take my Star Wars cred from me. But apparently they are ordering people to do stuff or ordering other droids to say Roger, Roger more often, which is kind of fun.
And important.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. An important piece of the game. So that was the big thing I would say in show and tell, is that when you first log into this game, the difference is while you are being sorted into different factions on that level, whether it's the Empire versus the Rebellion or the Separatists versus the Republic, or First Order versus the Resistance, you're going to have a chance to choose which class of trooper that you want to be.
So when you played, who were you specifically? What was your adventure?
I played almost every night for the past, I guess, 6 nights or so, and tried to just play around with the different characters and just kind of get a good feel for what might be coming when the game is released next month. But honestly, I would say, honestly, and this was saying earlier, some flaws of the game, the best person to be if you wanted to just not die all the time was to be a heavy trooper, because you had a better weapon and you could at least hold your own for far longer than you would as a specialist or as an infantry. But it was fun just to pick, you know, just to pick different players and mess around with things, knowing that it was a beta and just trying to get your feet wet for a while.
So you could only be a trooper? You couldn't be like Darth Maul in the beta or anything of that nature?
So you could, if you were better than myself and you could, you know, really make good progress in eliminating your enemies and not dying in the first 30 seconds every time you respawn, because you're looking at pretty pictures of Padme Amidala, or you're looking at the skyline of Naboo, and you're like, this is great. And then it turns over. But you could, I mean, I had a chance to play as some other starships, but I never had a chance to, unfortunately, be good enough to unlock one of the heroes for the battle.
So,
but you could have.
Right. Well, that's cool that option is even there, because it entices people to try to do that. And obviously, it sounds like you had a lot of fun with it. Does it have a different feel to it, or if you didn't know better, would you feel like you were playing the original Battlefront?
That's a good question. I feel like it plays a lot like the original Battlefront for the systems this past go around. I mean, you notice differences if you're a player and you've played the first one and now the second one. But for the most part, it feels a lot the same. You know, in the same kind of plug and play, you're dropping in and you're just going right to battle. And there's not you know, a lot of thought to has to go behind what kind of weapons you're putting together and who you want to choose to be in this next iteration of your spawn or something like that. So sure. I think they did a really good job in that regard.
Well, you mentioned it when the segment started, that there were some cons. What cons did you experience personally?
So I think one of the most disappointing cons so far was Starfighter Assault. I don't think they have down how they're going to use the special weapons for your TIE fighter, your interceptor. And let me also say, though, is that you can be so many different ships now in starfighter battles that it's amazing. Like, that is the best thing ever. You could be a Y-wing, a TIE bomber, interceptors, A-wings, X-wings. Like, the whole gamut finally is open to you as a player. But the flip side is they haven't really figured out, it feels like, how those special abilities will work out for those ships. So how does an ion cannon work for the Y-wing? How does a, you know, the target lock for an X-Wing or an A-Wing work compared to just your regular laser fire? I definitely had trouble with that. I would say, I mean, I'm not a great player in Battlefront, and I definitely enjoyed the time I had playing with it. Starfighter was probably my best. I was my best in those, but I definitely failed terribly this time around, and I couldn't put my finger on it. So
it sounds like playability-wise, if you're an inexperienced gamer or have a lot of experience in Battlefront, do you feel like both sides of wherever you lie, you would enjoy yourself?
Yes, I would say yes. Yeah, definitely. Definitely based upon what I got to see in the beta. I think there's something there for everybody. For those seasoned players that want a lot more content and a lot more storylines behind their own characters to build throughout their seasons, this game's going to go far above and beyond what Battlefront 1 could offer you. And for just, I mean, you know, regular folks that, I mean, just like myself, that, you know, have time to drop in every weekend or so and play the game and want to pick it up to get that immense Star Wars experience that you can only get sometimes through video games, it's definitely easy enough to pick up and enjoy it and jump right in and not feel like you're missing something.
So, Kristen and Marcus, while we're talking, did you get online and order the game because you were drooling over his descriptions?
Not quite yet, but let me ask you something, Nick. are you able to land on a planet like you were able to do in the original Battlefront 2?
Unknown, honestly. I think there's going – I mean, based upon what we've seen in the just the brief snippets from the first player, you can land ships – on ships, it looks like, but you could not land them. I could not get close enough without hitting a building, to be honest, on Naboo. So maybe if they can fix that part out of it and actually let you kind of slow down the approach.
Okay.
Well, and you perfectly described the kind of gamer I am as you were talking about running around looking at, you know, Amidala, looking at the Naboo skyline and then dying 30 seconds in. That's pretty much how all of my gameplay goes.
Hey, I am right there with you for sure. But
no, I'm right with you, Kristen.
So it sounds like it is completely whetted your appetite, and you're as eager to play Battlefront as you'd been before, or did this make it even more enticing for you?
You know, honestly, Dan, it made it more enticing, more exciting for me to play. And I, you know, I really want to say it's hard to do, but maybe I'm just running on the Last Jedi high right now and just playing this game and all those feelings that we're getting. But I really came away, you know, I was expecting to see a lot more, I guess, cons in my mind just from, you know, the first Battlefront just lacking a lot. But having played through it, it really got me more excited about what's going to come out in the next month and what they can tweak and all the content that they've developed that's really going to bring all three sagas home for us just, you know, 30 days or more away.
Right. And for our CWK family members listening, if you have any questions about the beta that we didn't cover or something that you want to ask Nick personally, where can they do that, Nick?
Oh, yeah, sure, definitely. I'm on Twitter at Nick Dico, NickDico. And if you're on Xbox Live, my handle is SNB Skywalker. So happy to run around with folks looking at beautiful skylines of Sullust or Fondor, or, you know, hopefully start landing on planets and not crashing into skylines while I'm doing the same thing. So. It's going to be, I think it'll be a lot of fun. If you haven't had a chance to, just watch some trailers or see other people's, gameplay opinions on it. If you're still kind of deciding whether to pre-order it or not, I would do so. Give it a look. You definitely get a lot of good benefits with the pre-order. And you're just putting generally every place you go $5 down if you're going to buy the game ahead of time. So,
oh, a good way to look at it. And you have the Nick Dico guarantee that he won't try to zap you for at least 10 seconds.
I cannot give maybe three. I would ask my good friend Red Five Mom about that. So my bad. Maybe 3 seconds. 3 seconds.
Hey,
so.
Fair enough. Turnabout is fair play, I suppose.
Indeed.
Hey, thanks to Nick, of course, for having a cup of coffee with us.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Nick. See ya.
So we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, Tom will have the news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio, featuring sound effects, top-notch narrators, and music directly from the movies. Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From Han Solo to C-3PO to Admiral Akbar, you'll recognize all of your favorite characters. Listen to movie tie-ins like Rogue One and The Force Awakens, to book titles such as Phasma and Battlefront II Inferno Squad, to classic audiobooks like William Shakespeare's Star Wars. With Star Wars audiobooks, you'll have plenty of Star Wars listening to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun, too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
We're back, and it's time to do some Star Wars news, and that brings us to Mr. Tom Gross. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you today, Dan?
Doing excellent. What do you have for us?
Excellent. Well, an official trailer was released today for Star Wars Secrets of the Empire, which is the virtual reality experience created in partnership with Lucasfilm, ILM Lab, and The Void. Star Wars Secrets of the Empire is set to open to the public this December 16th at Disney Springs at Walt Disney World Orlando and July 5th at Downtown Disney at Disneyland Resort Anaheim. According to StarWars.com, Star Wars Secrets of the Empire will send teams of four under the orders of a young rebellion to Mustafar. The mission is to recover Imperial intelligence vital to the rebellion's survival. The squad must find its way through an enemy facility disguised as stormtroopers with Rogue One's K2SO assisting. Vicky Dobbs-Beck, executive in charge of ILM Labs, says that this hyper-reality experience will bring fans a chance to step into the Star Wars universe in a totally unique way. For a sneak peek at the experience, what the experience has to offer, be sure to check out the high drama and action-packed trailer on StarWars.com or check out the link on the Coffee with Kenobi Twitter feed.
Look at you. You're a pro. I love it. You, did you, I mean, I'm assuming that we have all seen the video. It's completely spellbinding and just the way you can play in this fashion is just, it's amazing. I guess I didn't realize that there's such a wait for it to come to Disneyland as opposed to Walt Disney World.
Yeah, it looked amazing. I think we should all move together. To Florida and then stay there for a month and then move back.
Well, and there are four of us.
That's right. So who's going to be K2? That's the big question.
Oh, I think K2 is AI, so it'd be the four of us as stormtroopers.
Oh, he's...
Yeah, I think you're right, yep.
Oh. Well, I guess we're going to have that uncomfortable conversation then. Whew, what a relief.
Yeah, well, hey, speaking of uncomfortable, Samsung announced today that
there's a transition. Thank you for giving me the opening. Thank you. That's easy now.
Well, there you go. Hey, Samsung announced today that they are launching a Star Wars limited edition PowerBot robot vacuum called the VR7000. There will be two models of the exclusive robotic vacuum. One will be designed white and black in the resemblance of a stormtrooper helmet, and the other is a black model Vader helmet. The Vader VR7000 will include Wi-Fi connectivity and have a remote control. According to the Samsung press release, the limited edition models will also feature sounds that are appropriate to the characters. For example, when powering on the Darth Vader unit, the vacuum will play and mimic the character's infamous breathing. Also, according to the press release...
All right. I'm throwing a flag. You can't talk. I'm throwing a flag in the air saying, are you kidding me with this? Like, you've seen my office. You know what kind of Star Wars stuff I got going on. This is absurd. I love it. It's crazy.
I think, how is that not terrifying, though, when Darth Vader powers on and starts breathing in a corner somewhere and prepares to clean your house?
With the dust quaking with fear.
Yeah.
Personification. There you go.
Right. I don't even know, like, what to say.
What do you say?
I just thought
it
has, I'd throw
did you say
this
it has Wi-Fi?
I'm sorry? Yeah, it has Wi-Fi connectivity. I suspect I was looking at the specs of this vacuum to make sure that this is a real thing. And
well, all of our dreams have come true. I mean, now we've got a vacuum with Wi-Fi that sounds like Darth Vader.
But it has Visionary Mapping Plus that remembers the room and it finds the fastest cleaning routes to around the user's home, as well as full view sensor 2.0 that allows the unit to clean around home decorations and valuable personal items as small as 10 millimeters. So I'm guessing that's what the Wi-Fi connectivity is to be used for.
Sure. Well, I mean, I guess it would be nice, but wow, this is it. Now we've seen everything. We have officially seen everything.
You know, I'm hopeful that there will be a special edition that's the Mouse Droid. Because
that'd be awesome.
That would be so amazing.
Then I wouldn't have been so snarky if it was that would be cool. I said you say a little orange BB-8. That would be fun too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait till you tell your wife, "Hey, guess what I got you for Mother's Day?"
That would be pretty great. Well, moving on, Hasbro unveiled at the New York Comic Con this week a new flight of Star Wars Black Series figures. Four new figures will hit the shelves in 2018, including Benicio del Toro's Star Wars The Last Jedi character DJ. Also included will be Jabba's palace disguise Lando Calrissian and of course, bounty hunters Forlom and Dengar. And some might ask, why these characters and why now? Well, Hasbro says there are a lot of combinations of factors that go into the decision-making, but fan requests play a particularly large role.
These look gorgeous, as always. That one of my favorite things about New York Comic Con is getting to see these reveals. And Kristen, of course, was at New York Comic Con. Did you see these?
I did, and they are so beautiful in person. So I got to study them a little bit. I was mostly talking to the Hasbro folks about the new 3.75-inch variety that's coming out as well. So I didn't get to talk too much about the 6-inch Black Series, but it's just one of my favorite lines. So anytime there's a new 6-inch Black Series, couple of characters that comes out, I always get really excited about it. Just the articulation points are so amazing. They're great for hanging off of your desk. And the sculpts are just beautiful on these.
Does Lando's helmet come off?
You know, I don't know offhand. I believe it does. I would be really surprised if it was molded on there.
Oh, I agree. I would think that would be, with the Stormtroopers, I guess their helmets stay on, but they obviously have the capability. They've done a lot of amazing stuff with this series. So, Kristen, obviously you are a Black Series collector. Marcus, are you?
No, mainly Stormtroopers and the like.
Are you a Stormtrooper guy?
Duh.
Yes, I know. That was sarcasm. When I first met Marcus at Celebration Anaheim in 2015, obviously he was awesome and charming right away, but his armor is the best Stormtrooper armor I've ever seen. I mean, it's exquisite.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Thank you. Thanks.
That's high praise.
Well, it's true. And by the way, not related at all, but I'm bringing my Novo set with me to Rancho so you can build it for me. That's not related at all to what I just complimented.
So I have 7 hours to build it?
Yeah. Is that enough?
Sure.
All right. I want to see a video of that, some time-lapse footage.
Yeah. Well, that would be fun.
Put 7 hours on the clock.
Now, speaking of Rancho, Marcus, I didn't tell you this, but Tom will be joining me. It will be his first trip to San Francisco.
Oh, yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Good job.
Yes, very much looking forward to it. It'll be great.
What are you most excited for?
Oh, jeez.
That's a good question. Yeah, what are you most excited for? Besides spending
time with me. Oh, I know what it is. In-N-Out Burger, right?
No, that's very valid.
Oh, no.
That is very valid.
the Rancho experience, but seeing some of the collection, I hope is that part of it?
At Rancho?
Yeah.
Oh, you have full access to the entire museum the entire night. Oh yeah, it's heaven.
Oh, I can't think of like a single thing in particular, but I hope that I can walk away and say that was amazing and that was amazing and that was amazing and just have like a massive laundry list of the things that I thought were amazing. Yeah. Don't even know what to expect.
That'll
just
be easy. Yeah.
Overwhelmed with the thought. It's going to be so much fun.
I think you'll be overwhelmed already when you get into the bathroom. I think that's your first.
Yeah, that's more in it than you would expect.
What's in the bathroom?
It's Star Wars stuff galore.
Everything.
You would not believe, Kristen, the stuff that they've made for the bathroom that's Star Wars related.
Toilet paper that has Star Wars on it.
Oh, my gosh.
Or characters. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, wow. Well, let's wrap up with this then. We can't forget, and I'm sure no one here needs to be reminded of this, but Rebel Season 4 debuts this Monday. Is it the beginning of the end for the crew of the Ghost? Well, we'll have to watch and see. But in an interview on the Star Wars show, Dave Filoni is asked, what should we prepare ourselves for? He says, quote, everything is going to happen this season because it has to. I think things that you want to happen and things you'd rather didn't happen, but it makes sense for the story. So don't forget about the new programming times and get some extra sleep this Saturday night so that you can be the first to watch the overnight episodes. And also, back-to-back episodes give us a full hour to sit on the edge of our seats.
We will definitely all be tuned in for sure. Tom, thank you as always for bringing us the news.
Of course. My pleasure.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, CWK co-founder Mr. Corey Club is going to join me to break down the Last Jedi poster. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Phasma and Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi was also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. It's coffee chat time here at Coffee with Kenobi, and I have my good friend and former co-host, the co-creator of Coffee with Kenobi, Corey Club, back having a cup of coffee with us. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, good and doing well. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, we had a blast talking about the trailer on show number 91, and now we didn't really get a chance to talk about the poster, and It's always cool to talk about art and creative things to do because you're a designer. Tell me your thoughts on this poster. And of course, you know, you're talking about the brand new poster for the
brand new Force Awakens poster. Absolutely. It's the one that came out with the trailer. It's beautiful. We talked a lot about on the trailer reaction show, and it's got a great energy to it.
Yes.
We talked a lot about the color red. Plays a huge part in this, obviously humongous part, and that emotion that goes with the color red. And again, but these characters are all here. They're all our characters are here that we love to see. But overall, I mean, design wise, this imagery is very singular. If you could take a pencil and draw all the way down the center of it, you'd get an exact half and half, a look and feel of poor proportion. And that's to the mind's eye, and art wise, that's very pleasing to the eye. We seem to fall in love with people who are attractive, who are very symmetrical, and the way they look. And this is just definitely a representation of that. You know, it's the splitting of, you know, good versus evil. The idea of keeping things, if you want to turn it upside down, almost, you could kind of do the same thing. But then again, the white and the red are the main colors here, just really popping to us. And the other thing is, everyone's very intense looking right, in the path of danger almost. And it's so cool to see Rey with her lightsaber on the poster again here. She's got, we talked about earlier, just poise, and Kylo Ren's got his really gruff face on, and Leia's looking great with her very distinguished look, and it's such a gorgeous looking poster that it done such a great job of promoting it, and all the imagery I feel comes out for the magazines and some of the promotional stuff has got this great look and tie in a nice brand with everything, and this just really brings it home.
It's, yeah, well, hey, it's hard to follow that. You nailed it. But for me, I mean, you approach it from the designer side, and I look at it from the literary side. And of course, you've got Leia centered. I mean, she's exactly centered in the piece because she's a focal point. And they've already said that had Carrie Fisher been alive, the third film would have been focused on her character, just as the first one was on Harrison Ford, and this one is clearly on Mark Hamill. So we'll never get to really see that, which is it's terrible. I mean, but
yeah,
I have faith that Rian Johnson is going to sell us and give Leia the proper send off, and I'm sure that he will. And so they've got her centered here. And around her, you've got a number of things going on. I love how below her is you've got Kylo Ren's shuttle. And the thing looks so much like a bird of prey, just the way they have it here.
Oh, yeah.
Which obviously that the wings have a range, but just the way it is created here. We've got 3PO back. Now, 3PO is barely in the Force Awakens, and R2 really wasn't in it that much either. Not at all. I mean, he was comatose until the very end. And so seeing them together just gives you kind of a nice familiarity. But there's balance. You've got Rey, you know, if you're looking at it straight on, Rey's on the left, Kylo's on the right. You've got blue and you've got red. So there's balance even the way that they are standing next to one another. And then most of the poster is red, obviously. I sound like a Kardashian when I said that. It's red. but then you've got the white. So there is some white. There's some goodness in the galaxy, but the red is slowly taking it over. Right? Mm. It's scary.
Yeah.
Now, these speeders at the bottom are the resistance speeders. So, but they're bringing red too because the crate is very much a dried up planet, in essence. You've got the BB unit, you know, the B, what is it? BB-9E?
Oh, the Imperial BB unit. Yeah, he's down there. Yep.
He's there or she's there or whatever is there. And I don't know if it's gender specific at this point. I love the look of the Praetorian guards. I'm basically just narrating all the things on here, but the look at the top is just, and now tell me, is this painted? Is this like, how did they make this? Is it photorealistic or what? I don't even know what the term is.
I mean, I think it's a combination of both. I think they're using elements of obviously photo-generated imagery, obviously enhanced through Photoshop and using some gradients and obvious, you know, brush strokes and things of that nature. I mean, you can't just have everybody, okay, stand still and snap a picture. So, I mean, obviously they're using techniques that are generated through computer and photorealistic things. And I mean, obviously these are images that are
poised. Is this how they made poised. The Force Awakens poster? Same...
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'd love to see a Struzan poster version. Again, yeah, this definitely looks great. I think because they've done nice coupling. I think with that painted look of the movie posters of the past, and also the current film. Showing these big heads and images, and that's what you get from Star Wars too, right? I mean, these are the characters we love, so. One thing that sticks out to me is these characters all have kind of like, it's not all of them. Most of them have like scratches. Rey has got a scratch on her arm.
Yeah.
If you look at Finn, he's got a scratch underneath his eye.
Oh yeah.
What's a scratch on his cheek? We see obviously a scar on Kylo Ren's face. They're all damaged. They're all damaged goods. No, Poe's got a little scratch underneath his cheek.
Oh yeah,
there.
He does, doesn't he?
Very, very, very light.
He's
battle
still a
damage.
Stud. I mean, looks like it.
Still a stud. Absolutely. Yeah. Looking in the horizon there. So, it's kind of cool to see kind of some characters who are injured and knowing that something's going to go down here. One thing that really stands out to me the most, and I did not say this on the reveal of the trailer reaction show, was Kylo Ren's like silvery scar he has. We see this isn't represented here on his right side. You can see it on his cheek. Obviously, it's a scar that Rey gave him as she has battled him in Force Awakens. But we saw like a, I don't want to call it like a, it's like a silver ribbon of some sort that like, I want to say maybe fused. He's becoming kind of like a machine fused skin, maybe of some sort.
You think
it's
so?
Reconditioning his skin to heal more, maybe. I don't know.
I think that They're potentially taking a bit of a marketing risk because, as we've seen it with some of the stuff since Force Friday 2, Kylo Ren, it doesn't seem, is going to have his mask on as much. Now, Adam Driver is major star power, and he's definitely loved by men and women alike, and that's as it should be. That's cool. But the mask is gone. To me, that he's becoming more and more comfortable, or trying to become more and more comfortable with who he is, and he doesn't need to hide it with a mask anymore.
True. Well, I mean, that just goes back to the trailer reaction show was the scene where he smashes the helmet into the side of the wall. Does he is he not wear it anymore? Is that something like the evolution of his character that means he can become himself? It's pretty cool to see that transition and see his face clearly, which we didn't see a whole lot of his face towards the end of the Force Awakens. Saw him helmeted and obviously with the mask and the voice and everything. But one thing we do see here is Luke with his hood on.
I love this.
Very mysterious. Yeah. And his eyes are piercing. He's got the gray beard.
Very sage-like.
But then again, like you mentioned, he's dualized in the sense of if you take your hand and cover up either side of his face, you get kind of like if you cover up the right side, the red side with your hand and look with it one eye, close one of your eyes, and you'll see a very clear resemblance to Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's very uncanny. Really, it looks great. If you flip it over and then change the direction, you cover your hand with the white side, he's very dark and very mysterious and red and almost gothic. And I'm forgive me if I'm messing this up. Very Macbeth looking with the blood on his face.
No, it's
I mean, if that's there's an accuracy to that of fear. We mentioned this also in the trailer reaction of just he's. Something's wrong. Something's not right. That he's living in some kind of red parallel universe. Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know how to describe it. But it's cool to see this really imagery come out.
You want to grow a beard?
I've got one. I'm good to go.
There you go.
November's coming up. Go for it. Movember.
That's true. Right? Yeah. Is that a contest?
Go for it.
Beard contest. All right. Let's place your bets, folks. And him in the center, he's the center of everything. And historically, whenever a character is larger on a poster for Star Wars, they're not in it a ton. I mean, the original A New Hope poster is behind me in the Coffee with Kenobi studio, and as is the Revenge of the Sith poster, and Vader is gigantic in both of them, and he's obviously in A New Hope much more, but he doesn't have a ton of screen time compared to everybody else, and he's only at the end of Revenge of the Sith. While Luke is going to be the focal point, I feel like it's still going to be Rey and Kylo's story. And they sort of masked that a little bit, no pun intended, with The Force Awakens. But for this, I feel like it's very much going to be about Kylo trying to make some sort of peace with, or maybe he doesn't want peace, but he's clearly conflicted. Rey seems more sure of anything than she's been in her entire life because she doesn't have to deny that she actually wants to get off that planet. She's accepted that her family isn't going to come back, and she's made a new family, and she's making something of herself. Her drive is inspiring, but I think the power is replete throughout this thing. So it's great. I mean, yeah. I think when the teaser poster and the teaser trailer came out during Celebration Orlando, I thought that poster overshadowed that trailer. I don't think this poster overshadows the new trailer because I think they're both powerful. And typically I have a very strong sense one way or the other of if I like a teaser poster more or the actual poster. These are both great. I mean, if I had to give an edge, it would probably be to the teaser poster just because of the striking symbol of Rey holding the saber aloft. But this
for
is
He-Man.
This
yeah.
is beauty. Yeah, yeah. Just, or the original New Hope poster.
Oh, very true. Yeah, it's true.
But this is gorgeous. I mean, it's super, super cool. The coloring, it shows you again, this is not going to be for the faint of heart, kids. This is going to be heavy stuff.
So one thing's missing on here, Dan. Can you find it? Well, not find it, but can you see what's missing?
Is this a Coriolism or is this real?
No, this is true.
The Falcon's not on it.
Okay, that's one thing. That's not what I was thinking of, but go ahead.
Well, that's my guess. That's my final answer.
Snoke.
Oh, you sure? Let's see. I've got it blown up here pretty big. You got the Praetorian Guard. You've got Rose. You've got Phasma. Yeah, Snoke isn't on there.
Yeah. So it's interesting. You mentioned that Luke's playing a large role, maybe not so much because of the way this is just formed and designed. And we don't know yet, obviously. And we don't know Snoke's role as well. I mean, I think it's interesting to see that. Why is he absent from this poster? Is it there's a reason? We see him a lot in the teaser trailer. So, I mean, it's interesting to know what the marketing value is on this. You know, what are we going to put forth? What are we going for marketing wise and theme wise? And he's absent here. But I think that's, I think it's for a reason. I think it's for a good reason. I think we'll find out. We don't know yet, but, all in all, I think this is a gorgeous poster. I'd love to have it. Yeah. I think I'll be scoping out, you know, movie theaters and see if they've got any, you know, that they can give to me or I can purchase or something like that. But, I think it looks great. I think it's even better than, Force Awakens poster. Just my own, the other thing is, it's just
on their own. I'll say
that's true. It's true. I'd have to go back and look at the Force Awakens one. This one really just has such, I mean, I think maybe it's just coming off the trailer. It has such emotion tied to it. For me as a fan, it's so cool. I think I love the imagery again. I think the symmetry is so great here. And all the characters are just really looking awesome.
I agree. So be sure to let us know what you think about the poster. It's certainly going to be a wallpaper on a lot of people's computers for a very long time, I would say. Corey, thanks again for being on here and talking the poster with us. Where can people reach out to you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Sure. I'm on Twitter and Facebook and all the social media sites for Coffee with Kenobi and personal accounts. You can give me Corey C. at coffeewithkenobi.com if you want to send me an email and such. And yeah, just feel free to reach out and comment on what you like about the poster and or about the trailer or Star Wars in general. I'm always happy to talk.
Oh, and speaking of cool art and super cool design, you've seen the, if you've been to our Instagram page, the Coffee with Kenobi Instagram page, you've seen the logo for the CWK coffee break, and we're getting closer and closer to explaining more and more what that's about, but I'm assuming that when you saw the logo, you saw the talent of our dear friend, Mr. Club. So thanks again for doing that. It looks gorgeous as always.
My pleasure.
We're going to take our last break. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, Penguin Random House Audio and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast, and remember to listen to new and archived shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Player FM, our Coffee with Kenobi website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and would love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. A big thank you to Marcus Doring and Kristen Baber for joining us today. Where can listeners get in touch with each of you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
I'm available on Twitter at Kristen Baver. That's at KRISTIN, B as in boy, A, V as in victory, ER.
I'm on Facebook. Just search for Marcus Doring, DOHRING. On Twitter and Instagram under TK14057.
And Marcus, we said this at the top of the show, but you are also a host on a podcast.
Yes, we, Nikki Bloom and my friend Joe from the West Coast, we have, I'm a co-host on the 501st Cast. It's a show that has been going on for many, many years, but I just joined last year, and we have a loose release schedule, probably every 4 or 5 weeks. We talk about mainly 501st things, upcoming events, past events. We talked about the trailer that we recorded on the day of, and that should be released sometime this week. So yeah, so if people are interested in just listening to what's going on maybe in their neck of the woods and want to see the 501st, just listening.
Sounds super cool. And by the way, I've of course heard this show and I love it. So it's great. It's great fun. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We will be back next week with two new co-hosts and more Star Wars talk. And if you're participating in the CWK book study, be sure to read chapter 16 to 22 of Leia, Princess of Alderaan for the next time. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.